Did you notice how we listen differently to the last paragraph that wasn't printed in the bulletin? That we sometimes, there is a quality of the way that we approach our scriptures. And it ties in quite well. It wasn't intentional, but it does tie in quite well with what I want to think about today. Just some brief thoughts as we've had a significantly longer than usual introduction up to this point. But I don't know if you remember that I learned something last year, which in all my years of reading the Palm Gospel, as we call it, I had never noticed. And I'm going to share it again. Did you notice that in that first Gospel reading for today, the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, there is no mention whatsoever of palms? Not one. Nor is there in Mark's account, which we had last year, nor is there in Luke's account. They all throw coats onto the road ahead of Jesus. It's only in John's Gospel that we have mention of palms. And that's probably because the palm was a symbol of Israel following the Maccabean Revolution. And it became something that was printed on Judean coins. Yet we are so used to thinking about palms. We have a Sunday named after palms, for goodness sake. The beginning was called the Palm Gospel. We come to these texts as we come to every single scriptural text with our own presuppositions, with our own expectations, our own interpretations. It's always worth remembering that neither the reading nor the writing of our scriptures was done neutrally. We read plenty into our scriptures. In fact, what we are doing every time we open our scriptures or every time we hear the scriptures together in our services, we are in a process of negotiation. We as individuals, as community, through the lens of our personal and communal histories, are always negotiating the meaning of scripture for ourselves, for this time, in this place, in this context. It's part of the dynamic of these sacred texts. They are not static. Their meaning is not one-off, preserved in aspic for all time. The purpose of the text we call our scriptures is for us to find meaning for now in them. Calling upon the many voices who have passed them down to us, interpreted them to us, shared their stories with us. These stories which are here to challenge us, to inspire us, to make us question, to seek to prevent us from reading or hearing these stories and walking away unaffected and unchanged. We have those two gospel readings for today, deliberately juxtaposed, juxtaposing the triumphal entry, as we call it, into Jerusalem, and the betrayal which leads to Jesus' passion and death. They are constructing a particular way of seeing the events of this week, inviting us to enter into the story, which we will spend more time contemplating and relating in this coming week with services every day, which I'm not going to list. I'm sure you can read the announcements that are out. And of course, culminating with our observance of Good Friday, we are invited again and again to enter into these stories and find meaning now. Just as through our sculpture that's our candle arrangement here, this is Golgotha, provided by one of the members of our community, Mike. We are invited in new ways to engage with this story in order that we may live our values now. We have an invitation to find the meaning in these stories in the world that we face today. From the sirens we just heard stopping outside our window, to the grand things on a world stage which are causing more anxiety than any of us expected. This story of Jesus' passion that we just said together is a reminder to us to be true to our values, true to the heart of what we understand to be a gospel which is a gospel of love, a gospel of inclusion, a gospel of affirmation, a gospel which celebrates diversity and which calls us to be united in caring for one another, ourselves, and the world, and indeed the creation which God has given us to steward. For me, at this time, our passion narrative is a reminder that such a gospel of grace opposes those forces which would dominate and oppress. Those forces who silence the voices of dissent, who seek to wipe out those who do not conform to their own narrow view of how the world should be, who seek to control and coerce people into obedience through fear, intimidation, and the threat of violence. Jesus' refusal to play along with what the religious leaders, the collaborators with empire, and the corrupt structures of power that came with empire is a sharp reminder of the cost that we are all called upon potentially to pay. The cost of speaking out, the cost of being courageous in the face of wrong, the cost of remaining true to those Christ values we hold so dear. We read the Gospel of the Passion each year in such a way that we are confronted by the complicity of the crowds in the death of Jesus, reading the whole of the narrative and being invited to join in with the cries of the people who called for his crucifixion. There is a critique in here of those who joined with the oppressive powers of empire and the collaboration of religious authorities. And in reading this story and hearing this story again, we are challenged as individuals and as a church to consider our own complicity in the damage done to our world, and asked again to enter the story of Christ turning upside down the expectations of power and might, offering the way of peace, but a way of resistance to the force of oppression, which challenge us to think beyond winning and losing, control and domination. We are being called to recognize that the way of loving resistance is dangerous. It's costly, even to the point of dying. We are called to hear and be inspired and disturbed and changed by our encounter with this story in this time and in this place, to ask ourselves in what ways we need the Spirit to transform us, our structures, our institutions, ourselves, in order that we might have a part in transforming the world in love, a part in living the way of Christ, the way of nonviolence, the way of grace. May we continue to allow these stories to challenge us and to change us in the name of Christ and through the power of the Spirit as we journey on in faith in this Holy Week and beyond. Amen.